Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Bonjour. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh. Let's begin. So our topic today is something that I know a lot about. I guess that's why Spirit gave it to me. And the topic is stop delaying your progress. Yes. So let's get into it. I am going to invite you to place your hands on your heart and let's have a blessing and a prayer here. So grateful and thankful for the power of prayer. So grateful for the power of love. So grateful for the power of God that is our very life. We are grateful to tune in, to tap into that power of love, of God, of prayer, and to open our hearts and minds to the truth. We are willing to give up the mind wandering. We are willing to stop delaying our progress. We are willing to move forward in our progress. Spiritual growth and development is happening. We are so, so willing to let go of our attachments to the grievances, the grudges, the past, and anything that could stand in our way. Anything that could stand in the way of joy, peace, wholeness, forgiveness dissolves and resolves permanently back to the root cause so we never experience it again. We open ourselves to clear insight, divine direction, divine downloads. We are grateful to allow all of this to unfold with ease and grace, and we share the benefits with everyone. Everyone, everyone, everyone. We let it be, and so it is. Amen, amen, amen. Indeed, yes, yes, yes. All right. I think, as I've said before, I just feel on fire this year. So grateful for these teachings of A Course in Miracles and the healing that they bring when we actually live them and practice them. And the illusion is that it's hard, and it is not hard. Suffering is hard. Feeling poor and living in lack and limitation is hard. Being unkind to the people we love is hard. Accepting abuse is hard. Believing we're not good enough, that's hard. Living A Course in Miracles is not hard by comparison. It's liberating. It's joyful. It's such a relief. That's the word I was looking for. It's such a relief. It's joyous. It's happy making. Oh my goodness. So today I was guided to one of the workbook lessons. I usually focused on the text or the manual for teachers, mostly the text, as you probably know. A lot of people do stuff with the lessons, and it just hasn't been my guidance. I have no reason to do anything but what I'm guided to do. And in fact, I'll just say as an aside, people will ask me questions all the time. They ask me questions like, okay, so what are your goals? What do you want? And I've really come to recognize there's not a lot that I want anymore. There are some things I'd like, and mostly they're related to my spiritual growth and related to the ministry, the Power of Love Ministry. Our website is powerofloveministry.net. And we've switched over from jenniferhadley.com to powerofloveministry.net. Though if you put in jenniferhadley.com, you'll get there. So that's where my focus is being truly helpful and living a life I love, which is my spiritual focus and attention. I notice that I like my possessions, but I don't feel strongly attached to them. I'm not looking to improve, like get a nicer car, get a nicer this or that. I would like to be able to buy my own home just so I can fix it up the way I like it. But I also do not wish for the home that I live in to become a distraction to me, because as much as I love decorating and fixing things up, I don't want that to be a distraction, more like a hobby, something that I do that's enjoyable, like gardening, but without becoming attached or obsessive compulsive about it. So, yeah, and of course, what's also really important to me is my relationships. I have many friends and prayer partners and my family and all the people that I have come to meet who are my friends over the years. So spending time, quality time with them. And I also am an activist, a bit of an activist in my community. And so I do community events and things, working on that here in Vermont, where I live. So, yeah, gathering people together to enjoy ourselves together, to live and learn with each other, and to make beautiful spiritual music together through our conversations and our spiritual practices. These are the things that I really enjoy. And so getting to lesson 128 here in the workbook, it's entitled, "The World I See Holds Nothing That I Want." And it is from this lesson that I was guided to for us today. I took the title of our podcast today, and that is Stop Delaying Your Progress. So I'm just going to start reading here. "The world you see holds nothing that you need to offer you. The world you see holds nothing that you need to offer you. The world doesn't offer you anything that you need." Another way of saying it. "Nothing that you can use in any way, nor anything at all that serves to give you joy." Now, that's a big pill to swallow. So what I do with A Course in Miracles is I say, I notice my mind thinks, you know, I need food, and this world has food to offer me. And I immediately have the thought as I say those words to you that Jesus would say, "I am offering you food that is not of this world, that is actually nourishing, and you won't need the food of this world like you think you do, like you think you do." So, yes. "Nothing that you can use in any way, nor anything at all that serves to give you joy, that the world holds none of it. Believe this thought, and you are saved from years of misery, from countless disappointments, and from hopes that turn to bitter ashes of despair." So this I can attest to. So one of the early spiritual teachings I got that's been very helpful to me is what Buddha taught about attachments, that there are two kinds of attachments, and all attachments cause suffering. All suffering is caused by attachments. The two attachments, cravings and aversions. Cravings are, I need this, I want this, I have to have it, I can't be happy without it. Those are the cravings. Aversions are, I hate it, I can't stand it, I don't like it, I want it dead, I want it gone. So whenever we feel any kind of a craving or aversion, an attachment that we have, which an attachment is a belief that we have, is coming up for healing. So our higher Holy Spirit self is giving us an opportunity to challenge our investment in the belief, which is the attachment. All attachments cause suffering. So every time that there is any sense of discord, I call it the divine alarm clock going off. Anytime the divine alarm clock is going off, then you feel upset. And that upset is an indicator that one of the beliefs you have, which is an attachment to something false, something not true, is coming up into the front of your awareness, where you can call for a healing and partner up. All you have to do is be willing. Not complicated, very simple. And I have had so many thousands of healings this way, by recognizing I am not at peace. So I must have decided wrongly. Meaning I am investing in a belief that's false, all beliefs are false, or not true, not helpful, and I can choose the truth instead. I just have to be willing and say to the Holy Spirit, whatever this upset is caused by, whatever the attachment is, I'm no longer interested in suffering. I don't need it anymore. Whatever it is, I didn't even have to know what it is. Just take it from my mind so I never think it again. And do the same for every other person who has this thought. Let all boats rise on this tide of love and healing. That practice transformed my life because it is a living demonstration of willingness. Willingness is not saying I'm willing. Willingness is actually going the other way. It's actually reaching to the Holy Spirit for healing. It's not just saying it, it's doing it. It's absolutely doing it. So the world holds nothing that you need. It has nothing to offer you that you need. Believe this thought, and you are saved from years of misery. No one but must accept this thought as true if he would leave the world behind and soar beyond its petty scope and little ways. Now, hopefully, this lesson brings to your awareness your attachments to the world. Awareness is curative. So when we become aware of what the attachments are, we're moving in the direction of healing. It's beautiful, and it's not complicated. It's really not. Each thing you value here in the world is but a chain that binds you to the world, and it will serve no other end but this. So everything you value here is going to chain you to the world. Of course, what are the biggest attachments? For a lot of people, it's children, it's relationships that bind us to the world. And what I can tell you from my spiritual practice is my relationships are better than they've ever been, all of them, and I don't feel attached to them the way I used to. I'm not trying to make them be different. I am not trying to fix them anymore. They're all working. Some people are a little more challenging than others, but it's fine. It doesn't freak me out anymore. It makes me laugh. It gives me an opportunity to have deep compassion. I am grateful for everything as it is now. I'm not putting a lot of energy into trying to change anybody anymore. That's not happening. And acceptance is the way. In the song As by Stevie Wonder, which is such a great song, beautiful, beautiful song. We used to sing it every Easter at Agape in the Agape choir. And there's a line in there where Stevie Wonder says, acceptance is the way. Now that statement, acceptance is the way, is I hear it in the song, but it's actually part of a larger thought where he says, did you know that true love asks for nothing? Her acceptance is the way we pay. Did you know that true love asks for nothing? Her acceptance is the way we pay. So accepting true love, God's infinite love, that's the way we pay. So there's nothing to pay for God's love. Accepting it is all that's being asked for us to give in return. Isn't that beautiful? So when I hear the word acceptance, I always think acceptance is the way. And so just a little thing about how things stick in my mind sometimes. Each thing you value here is but a chain that binds you to the world, and it will serve no other end but this, to bind you to the world. For everything must serve the purpose you have given it. Remember, everything's symbolic. Until you see a different purpose there. Everything must serve the purpose you have given it until you see a different purpose there. So we can see that, oh, this person's purpose is to irritate me and frustrate me and get in my way and block me. But then when we see with God's eyes, we can say, no, this person is here to strengthen me and to teach me how to have love and compassion, to take responsibility for what I see and think and feel. That's what they're for in my life, not to frustrate me, but to help me. And as I've been talking about in Masterful Living classes, in the Manual for Teachers, in the Chapter 4 section on the characteristics of God's teachers, trust is the first one. And in the development of trust, we are told it takes great learning to understand that everything, all situations, circumstances, and events are helpful. Everything is helpful. Everything is helpful. That makes me think of another song, the song from the Lego movie, Everything is Awesome. Love that song. Everything is awesome when you're living the dream. yes. Okay. The only purpose worthy of your mind this world contains is that you pass it by without delaying to perceive some hope where there is none. Be you deceived no more. The world you see holds nothing that you want. All right. So the world is giving us the opportunity to show us what our thinking actually is. What is the meaning that we have given to things? Where are the attachments? Are we accepting? Are we accepting the gifts of God today? Are we blessing the world with our holiness today? Where are we? That's what the world is helpful for. Just like in dreams that we have when we're sleeping, the symbols in there are helpful to us. Escape today the chains you placed upon your mind when you perceive salvation here. Escape today the chains you place upon your mind when you perceive salvation here. So this is one of the more challenging things to really be willing to do, which is to give up attachment to trying to fix things in the world, trying to organize the world. I talk about it as don't try to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. Realize that you're not really on the Titanic. Go with the flow and you will be saved. Go with the flow of God. Go with the flow of God. Know that you are loved, you are held, you are carried in each and every moment. You are never alone. It's not even possible to be alone. This takes willingness. That's all that it takes, but it does take willingness. Escape today the chains you place upon your mind when you perceive salvation here, when you perceive salvation in the world. For what you value, you make part of you as you perceive yourself. So you're going to value things in the world according to how you perceive yourself. So if you perceive yourself as not lovable, then you're going to value things in the world that make you seem more lovable. Like, oh, if your teeth were whiter. Oh, if your hair was different or your body was different in some way, then you'd be more lovable. It just doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. I know people, and I've always known people, and you know people who are happily married, and maybe they have bodies that are not so healthy, and they are still loved. They're still totally loved, unconditionally loved. That's right. It's absolutely true. So let's just give up these fantasies that if we could make our body different, we'd be more lovable. Not true. Enough already. What you value, you make part of you as you perceive yourself. All things you seek to make your value greater in your sight limit you further, hide your worth from you, and add another bar across the door that leads to true awareness of yourself. So if you're seeking to make, let's say, your body more attractive or something like that, and gosh, don't we all do that? Come on. Come on. Most of us, right? But these are the things that hide our worth from us. Now, I like to have nice clothes, but I'm not obsessive about it. I like to dress in a way that feels good to me, feels comfortable, feels attractive. At times I like to wear clothes that feel fun and playful, skirts and dresses and shoes that feel fun and playful. And I am no longer interested in trying to present myself physically in a way that somehow that means more people are going to like me. I like doing it just for the fun of it. Sometimes I feel like dressing up and sometimes I don't. But either way, I still like to wear clothes that I feel are in tune with my vibration in the moment. In the moment. So just honoring where I am in this moment. To me, that's a beautiful part of how we can live this life. So beautiful. All things you seek to make your value greater in your sight limit you further, hide your worth from you, and add another bar across the door that leads to true awareness of yourself. I can say this is my experience, that seeking outside myself had the effect of diminishing my own value in my own awareness. When I was looking to add a cubit to my stature, as it talks about in the Bible, when I was trying to do that, then I wasn't realizing I'm all that and a bag of chips already because I am part of God. And there is nothing outside of me. Everything is part of me. I don't need to improve myself. If I'm looking at myself as something that needs improvement, right then I need to stop and realign. Because what about God needs improvement? Nothing. God is already perfect, and so are we. The only thing that needs to be shifted is our belief that we are not part of God. Oh my goodness. Simplicity, that's what I love. I love it so much. I'm so grateful. All right, there's the music. It's time for me to go to a break. I do invite you to check out thepowerofloveministry.net, .net, .net, not .com, .net, powerofloveministry.net, our new website. I'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk.
Welcome back. I'm going to make a quick few announcements here before we get back into lesson 128. And things that are coming up, you can always go to the events page at powerofloveministry.net. And also on the homepage, we have laid out the programs and what's involved in the programs so you can see the different pathways that we have for you if you're interested in becoming involved in what we're doing. Kieran J. Gardner has a deep dive into A Course in Miracles that was scheduled for March 9th. She has laryngitis. It's now scheduled for March 16th. So if you saw her in her recent class in the Quantum Counseling Program, which people loved so, so much, you may be inspired to join us on the 16th for her class there. It's a six-hour class, deep dive into the application of A Course in Miracles for the purpose of healing. And then on the 17th, I'm doing my self-love class. Oh, on the 10th, which is Sunday, the 10th, there's a free forgiveness workshop, self-love workshop online. These are online events. On the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, come and join me. And then we have our End My Self-Sabotage Challenge coming up. Begins later in March. I think it's the 24th is the first session. It's a six-week program to end myself, end your self-sabotage. I learned so much about it, and I'm happy to share and run this program. It's really helpful to people. And then in May, we have coming up two in-person events, the Counseling Training Intensive, which is open to anyone. Any kind of person for any reason is welcome to join the Counseling Training Intensive. It is deeply healing. It's great for building confidence, building intuition, for learning how to have more healing conversations with people. There are just so many benefits. I can't even begin to tell you them all. So go to the site to read it. And if you're interested in the program, but you're not sure if it's right for you right now, you can book an exploratory call with one of the spiritual counselors who can answer all your questions for free. We do that with all our programs so that you can get more insight before you register. And then after the intensive training for the counselors, there is How to Create and Lead Workshops That Make a Difference. So if you've thought, you know, I'd love to be able to do a workshop, I just need some training. Here we go. We got it for you. I do these events back to back because people come from Australia and Europe and places like that. And we're in Scottsdale, Arizona. And that's in May for these two events. We got a great deal at a beautiful hotel for you. And of course, we have payment plans and we have an early bird special that's on right now that's amazing, if I do say so myself. Go look just to see what the early bird is. So those are my announcements. Okay, back to lesson 128. We're in paragraph 4 now. Let nothing that relates to body thoughts delay your progress to salvation. Right, this is where the title of this episode came from. Don't delay. Let nothing that relates to body thoughts delay your progress to salvation, nor permit temptation to believe the world holds anything you want to hold you back. Don't let the belief that the world holds anything you want or thoughts about your body, these all delay your progress to salvation, your progress to awakening, your progress to happiness, to joyful living. It's true. It's true. We can enjoy the things of the world. Oh my gosh. I took Bodhi out for a walk earlier. It's a gray, foggy, wet day. It's cold. And still had a good time. So grateful to be outside, enjoy the fresh air. And the mountains are always beautiful no matter what the weather is, no matter how muddy it is. And looking out the window now at the birds on the bird feeder, it's all beautiful. It's always beautiful. And yet it's nothing I need. Not craving it. Just enjoying it. So being able to stop the needing, wanting, craving, and to be able to stop the, I hate that, I can't stand that, it makes me sick, it disgusts me. All of these attachments can fall away and you can simply enjoy the things of this world without thinking that you need them. That is true freedom, my friend, and it's always available to us. We have to be willing to give up the attachments, though. So that's what I say in Masterful Living and Finding Freedom, those programs, all the time. We don't have to give up the things we love, but we do have to give up the attachments to them. So if we believe these are the things that are going to make me happy, we'll find out that, no, there's no happiness even with them. There's no happiness even with them. I see this with people all the time. They think, oh, if their marriage is, if they get a divorce, they won't be happy anymore. Or if they don't marry that particular person, they can't have true happiness. I've had these thoughts. Of course I have. We think, oh, if I don't have this weight, if I can't wear this size clothing, if I don't have that car, if I can't keep paying for my house, if I lose my house, then I can't be happy. Advanced spiritual students still fall into the hole of these thoughts. So this lesson, the world I see holds nothing that I want, is so valuable to us. I would say pick this lesson and work it the rest of the year. Just go for it. Really dive into it. All right. Nothing is here to cherish. Nothing here is worth one instant of delay and pain, one moment of uncertainty and doubt. The worthless offer nothing. The worthless offer nothing. The world is worthless. It offers nothing. Remember, our relationships, which for most of us is the most important thing in this world, our relationships are eternal because we're eternal. We are eternally one. And so our relationships are eternal. Nothing is here to cherish. Nothing is here is worth one instant of delay and pain, one moment of uncertainty and doubt. The worthless offer nothing. Certainty of worth cannot be found in worthlessness. Today we practice letting go all thought of values we have given to the world. We leave it free of purposes we gave its aspects and its phases and its dreams. Now, again, today we practice letting go of all thought of values we've given to the world. So, in the development of trust section that I was talking about earlier, it talks about learning what's of real value. So that is something we must do. We must learn what is truly valuable. And so we go through this period of sorting out so we can discover what's valuable and what's not. The things of this world are not valuable. What's valuable is the truth. What's valuable is harmony, it's love, it's freedom. These are the things that are truly valuable. It takes great willingness to understand this, and we just have to be willing to remember what the truth is and not try to figure it out, not try to make ourselves believe it. Just be willing to recognize what's true. Thus do we lift the chains that bar the door to freedom from the world and go beyond all little values and diminished goals. So we set goals like, oh, I'd like to earn this much money. Oh, I'd like to lose that much weight. I talk about this frequently in Masterful Living. What I encourage people to do is set goals like to know the peace of God, to sustain the peace of God, to live without judgment, and instead replace all judgment with compassion, extending love, things like that. These are truly valuable goals. Paragraph 6. Pause and be still a little while and see how far you rise above the world when you release your mind from chains and let it seek the level where it finds itself at home. So, not trying to control the mind, but allowing. This is such a beautiful tool that we all have inherently. So I say it this way. We don't have to figure out how. Our job is to allow. We don't have to figure out how. Our job is to allow. Pause and be still a little while and see how far you rise above the world. When you release your mind from chains and let it seek the level where it finds itself at home. It will be grateful, the mind will be grateful to be free a while. It knows where it belongs, but free its wings and it will fly in sureness and enjoy to join its holy purpose. Let it rest in its Creator, there to be restored to sanity, to freedom, and to love. So this is why our practice, our spiritual practice, is to release attachments and to free the mind from attachments. Again, it's just the willingness. Oh, I'm willing to see. I have an attachment to this, and my attachment to thinking it should be different is what's bothering me. My attachment to thinking I'm not going to get what I want and I need what I want is bothering me. My attachment to thinking that I'm bad and wrong, or they're bad and they're wrong, is bothering me. I'm willing to see it differently. I'm willing to know what the truth is, because the truth sets me free, and that's how I'd like to feel, free. Give it 10 minutes, rest 3 times a day. Give the mind 10 minutes rest 3 times today. And when your eyes are opened afterwards, you will not value anything you see as much as when you looked at it before. Your whole perspective on the world will shift by just a little every time you let your mind escape its chains. The world is not where it belongs, and you belong where it would be, and where it goes to rest When you release it from the world, your guide is sure. Open your mind, be still, and rest. Protect your mind throughout the day as well. And when you think you see some value in an aspect or an image of the world, refuse to lay this chain upon your mind, but tell yourself with quiet certainty, this will not tempt me to delay myself. The world I see holds nothing that I want. So I am willing to stop delaying my happiness. I am willing to stop delaying my experience of joy, of wholeness, of freedom, of wisdom, of beauty, of truth. I am willing to see this differently. I am willing to see things as they truly are. This is the gift that we have in this world. So just taking a moment now to see where we're trying to make things happen. It's what I call pushing density. Just looking around your mind and your life, where are you trying to make things happen? Noticing, observing, looking around. Where are you thinking that you need things in order to be happy, or that your unhappiness is caused by something in the world? This is a level of spiritual growth and maturity that people are usually not so willing to go to. Everything in the world tells us that happiness comes from the world, not from within. Even spiritual teachings will tell us that in ways that, I mean, think of different religious groups where wealth is valued so much. Accomplishment is valued so much, and people are not being trained to go within, to be still and know I am God. Lesson 129, beyond this world, there is a world I want. Beyond this world, there is a world I want. This is the thought that follows from the one we practiced yesterday. You cannot stop with the idea the world is worthless, for unless you see that there is something else to hope for, you'll only be depressed. And doesn't that happen, that people do get depressed because they don't see how they can be successful in this world? Because the only way to be successful in this world is to rise above it and to recognize I'm experiencing this world, but I am not of it. I am of the real world. So it says, our emphasis is not on giving up the world, but on exchanging it for what is far more satisfying, filled with joy and capable of offering you peace. Think you this world can offer that to you? It might be worth a little time to think once more about the value of this world. Perhaps you will concede there is no loss in letting go all thought of value here. The world you see is merciless indeed, unstable, cruel, unconcerned with you, quick to avenge and pitiless with hate. It gives but to rescind and takes away all things that you have cherished for a while. No lasting love is found, for none is here. This is the world of time where all things end. But we are not of this world. And so it is a mind training to relax the mind, release the attachment is another way to say relax the mind, to relax the attachment to thinking we have to understand everything in this world, analyze everything in this world, make things happen in this world. I have found it extremely helpful to think about it in terms of working in the invisible versus pushing density. So trying to make things happen versus that allowing things to unfold. The ego thought system is one that does not trust at all, except in its own perceptions, projections, judgments, and opinions and beliefs. And that's why it's so painful. That's precisely why it's so painful. And the pain pushes us to higher ground. The pain pushes us to make different choices. The pain pushes us to wake up. So just being willing to say, I would like to value what is truly valuable. Sometimes it can trigger fear that we're going to lose everything and somehow then become ascetics. You know, we'll have to go into a nunnery or a monastery and we'll lose everything we have that we love and we like and we value. But it's just not been my experience that that's true. I feel I have more on all levels than I've ever had before in my life. And I certainly have more stability and this consistent peace that goes with me in all situations and circumstances. And it's very much tied to really taking responsibility for the world I see, for the meaning I make of what I see, and recognizing that there is nothing outside of me because I'm part of everything. How could anything be outside of me? And the willingness to stop judging the world and complaining about the world has been incredibly helpful and healing to me. Just the willingness to stop complaining. I'm not there 100%. I still can get caught in some complaints, but thank God I am not focused on my complaints anymore. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything is gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? What could you not accept? Going back to lesson 129, paragraph 3. Is it a loss to find a world instead where losing is impossible, where love endures forever, hate cannot exist, and vengeance has no meaning? Is that a loss to find heaven, to live in a heavenly state of mind? Is that a loss? Because it does seem like, oh, if I release all of these attachments, then I'm not going to have the things I like and want and need. It just couldn't be further from the truth. Is it lost to find all things you really want and know they have no ending and they will remain exactly as you want them throughout time? Yet even they will be exchanged at last for what we cannot speak of, for you go from there to where words fail entirely, into a silence where the language is unspoken and yet surely understood. Communication, unambiguous and plain as day, remains unlimited for all eternity. And God himself speaks to his son as his son speaks to him. Their language has no words. For what they say cannot be symbolized. Their knowledge is direct and wholly shared and wholly one. How far away from this are you who stay bound to this world? And yet how near are you when you exchange it for the world you want? This is my experience, that giving up the attachments to what I think will make me happy and being able to say, Holy Spirit, I think these things are going to make me happy, but I am willing to recognize I do not know. How can I know? I'm not seeing clearly. I'm not feeling clearly. I'm not understanding things clearly. I'm still trying to analyze things through the same lens. My data is not good data. How can I run the numbers when my numbers are corrupted? So let me stop trying to figure it out and how to make myself happy. And instead, let me simply love myself free. Love myself enough to let go of these attachments, to let go of the suffering, to let go of the belief in lack and limitation, now and forever. I am so willing in this very moment. Make it so now. I just had a friend tell me about how they just put a demand on the universe. I need help. I need it now. I need to shift out of this thinking, and I'm willing to shift out of this thinking now. Help me, God. Help me, angels. Help me, life. And the amazing miracles that came from that. Why did the amazing miracles come from those declarations? Because those declarations are willingness to receive. So often we feel like we're willing to stop suffering, but we're not willing to let go of our perspective. We're not willing to let go of what we think is the answer. And we're not willing to receive because we don't feel worthy. This is why willingness is all that's required. All of heaven will come to support us and help us when we're genuinely willing. I just see it all the time. So perhaps the greatest act of self-love is to cultivate this true willingness. That's what a spiritual practice gives us. A helpful spiritual practice is that opportunity over and over and over again throughout each and every day to demonstrate our willingness and to say, I am interested in God more than what I think will make me happy. Let's place our hands on our heart right here and now and be grateful and thankful that the love of God is what we already are. The kingdom is within. That's what we're looking for, and that's what we're looking with. Sharing the benefits with all, we let it be. So it is. Amen, amen, amen.